Welcome to Musings from Sam Houston's Stomping Grounds, a production of the Newton Gresham Library at Sam Houston State University in Huntsville, Texas.
Hi, this is Erin Cassidy, Web Services Librarian at the Newton Gresham Library, and today we're here speaking with Belle Whittington. She works here at Sam, and she published a young adult novel in late 2011. Belle, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
I want to start off with a very silly question, because the title of your book can kind of be pronounced a couple of different ways, depending on someone's regional dialect, and I'm wondering how you yourself prefer to say it, like cicada or cicada?
That's actually a very common question. I get that one a lot. And actually, I pronounce it cicada.
Okay, that's interesting, because for me, I say cicada.
And
but it did occur to me to wonder. I said, you know, a lot of Southerners say cicada. And
that's the way I pronounce it anyway,
okay.
Cicada.
Good to know. Okay, so the book is Cicada.
Yes.
What made you decide to write in the young adult genre, and what do you like best about writing for young readers?
You know, YA is just fun. It's adventurous. It's just full of possibilities. Got a little magic mixed in there. And it gives me a chance to relive my childhood knowing what I know now. So it's just a lot of fun to write.
Yeah.
I really enjoy doing that. And then, you know, people of all ages love to read young adult.
Indeed. I mean, you know, I myself am an avid YA fan. I do a lot of audiobook reviews of YA. I love modern YA literature.
Me too.
Well, the story in Cicada is sort of a tense supernatural adventure. As a reader yourself, are you fond of supernatural and sci-fi genres, or what other kinds of literature do you like to read?
I love a vast, you know, array of literature, but I really do enjoy reading. I always have enjoyed sci-fi,
mm-hmm.
As far as back as I can remember, and so that's probably my favorite genre, and not necessarily the kind that's blatantly sci-fi like Star Trek, even though I do love Star Trek.
Right.
But, and I do love, you know, most supernatural parts of the genre, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can find those same threads throughout all types of literature, even going back to, you know, Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. You
right.
probably read that in one of your college classes. That's like one of the first sci-fi, you know, stories, and so.
Right.
I just,
very supernatural elements.
Yeah, I'm really fond of those elements in them.
Well, what other authors really inspire you as a writer?
Well, as a lit major, I do love Chaucer, and I do love me some Shakespeare. But lately I know you have to have read the Hunger Games trilogy.
Oh, yes, Suzanne Collins.
Yes. I've just finished that trilogy a few weeks ago, but I'm missing the character so much. I want to go back to it and reread it.
Yes.
And then I'm also really enjoying Beth Reeves's Across the Universe.
I have not read that yet.
Oh, it's really good. It is sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
And not so blatantly sci-fi. It's really good. And she just had her sequel to that just released just this week on the 10th.
It was
A Million Suns. And so I've got that on hold at Hastings. But those are my two current faves right now. Now, that may change next week.
Because, of course, real readers, you know, you never have the same favorite author, always. It's always, whoever I'm reading right now is my favorite.
Yes, that's right.
So did any real people in your life provide a basis for your main character, Blair, or her friends?
There's really only one character in this storyline, in the realm of Blair's world, who is actually based on a real person,
mm-hmm.
and that's Grandpa.
Okay.
He is actually based on my father.
Wow, okay.
And that's sort of my tribute to my father.
Yeah, that's a neat little homage to pay.
Yes. The rest of the characters, you know, I love people watching, and I think that's one of the best ways for authors to form characters,
mm-hmm.
just by watching people, you know.
Noticing their quirks.
Yes.
The things that make them unique.
Yeah. And so I think probably most writers will say that all of their characters have a little bit of the author in them,
mm-hmm.
but that's sort of the way all my characters, only Grandpa is based on a real person.
Okay, neat. Along similar lines, I couldn't help noticing, with a little bit of delight, that the story seems to be set in Willis, Texas, not far from Huntsville. What made that an ideal setting for your story?
Well, you know, Willis is a very mysterious town. I actually live in Willis out on the lake, and most of the places in Cicada are based on real places.
Really? Okay.
In Willis, so if you're real familiar with the area, you're going to know what I'm talking about. I've sort of changed the names, but
I started wondering, because I think it took me actually pretty far into the book to really be sure it was Willis, because mm-hmm. it was suddenly a reference to, you know, driving down 1097 to the lake, and I said, wait a minute, that's Willis. And then going back, I started wondering about the drive-in and these other places that they went, and thinking,
Yeah. Well, you know, it all really started with me about 8 years ago, at the drive-in, mm-hmm. getting a Coke. I started noticing that mysterious building over there. And, you know, it kind of became a joke between my daughter and me. She was a lot younger then. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what could be going on over there in that building? And then on my way home, there's always this, there's a real forest that I've always thought that thing could really be haunted. Because mm-hmm. at night, it is really, really spooky. And so, you know, a couple of years ago, I really felt the urge. I really needed to write something aside from college papers.
Right.
And it just came to me. They just all the pieces clicked together.
Oh, what a neat inspiration. Okay. Now, I see that you chose to self-publish Cicada, which personally I think is a really powerful modern alternative to having to work through the commercial publishing houses. So I was wondering what attracted you to that publishing medium, and how would you describe your experience with the self-publishing process?
I think I'm probably, in most areas of my life, just an all-around indie. I love to do things myself. I always have.
Mm-hmm.
But I did attempt for a short period of time to go the conventional publishing route, and I queried looking for an agent, and most people were wanting vampire books, werewolf books.
Big surprise.
Yeah, you know, and not that I have anything wrong with those.
But there's plenty of them, aren't there?
There's plenty of them. There's so many other folks writing them, and I didn't have that story in me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, I actually got a glimpse of an article online, and it started with Amanda Hawking.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. This girl, she's really, you know, she's doing something. And then I started following J.A. Conrath's blog.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started following them, and I thought, you know, and Barry Eisler, I think I'm going to try to mimic something that they're doing. I just wanted to try it, you know, and experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing my research online, and one thing led to another. It's a lot easier than it seems. To self-publish, or to indie publish, which mm-hmm. is the new term.
The new term. Oh, okay.
that ability to be able to do it myself is what really attracted me to self-publishing.
Yeah, it's got to be neat to be able to keep that control and not be mm-hmm. at the mercy of someone else saying, oh, well, I think the book will sell better if you change this thing just because I tell you to change it.
And, yes, and it know. Rips the heart out of the story.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, so I know this is the cliche question everybody asks, but I just feel like I've got to ask it. Based on your own experience so far, what advice might you give to ambitious young authors who might be interested in publishing their own books?
That's really a good question, and I love sharing information because I've gotten so much information from other authors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do your homework. That's the number one thing. Do your research. Get online. Check out authors that you respect that are indie authors or self-published authors.
Mm-hmm.
And then hire a good editor. Yes,
because, so important.
Yes, you must have a good editor because it's so easy. I mean, I read my manuscript at least 15 times
mm-hmm.
before I sent it to the editor, and I missed things. I mean,
you see your own sentences so frequently, you look right over the mistakes.
Yes, because you're in the story. You know, it's in your brain. You're really not seeing your words.
Right, you're not seeing the letters and the commas, because you knew what you meant to say.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And then hire a book designer.
Okay.
And that's not necessarily the person who's going to make your book cover.
Mm-hmm.
A book designer actually sets your book up so that it can be sold in digital form.
Oh.
And so that it looks good in print. Because if you want to be taken seriously, it needs to look good when people download it on their Kindle.
Sure.
Or when you get a paperback. Because, you know, my book, you may choose not to put it in both mediums, but... Mm. You really want it to look good when it's in print, too, you know, really do. So hire a good book designer. And then you can check out my Tumblr, because on my Tumblr I post everything that I learn as I'm going along about self-publishing and indie publishing. I share everything I find on there,
mm-hmm.
so I can be found on Tumblr.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good idea. Just gather all the information together and put it out there for everyone.
Okay, so a great research tool for other young authors.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about the cover, because the cover of Cicada is just a really beautiful, striking image. Tell us where you got that cover design.
Well, thank you. I'm just so enamored with the cover. It really is gorgeous, especially in print. My daughter designed my book cover.
Wow.
The whole, the spine, the back, the front.
Mm-hmm.
And she really worked hard on that. She had to put up with the worst client ever, me. And she actually have a little website where people can go on and look at her her projects.
So she's an artist?
Yeah, she's an artist, a photographer. But she's a psychology major in college. But she did a brilliant job on the cover, and I'm very, very pleased with it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's something that really just makes the book that much more special, you know, that she got to have a little part in it as well.
Yeah, it really, really did. And she made the book trailer.
Oh, yeah, I watched the little video online. Yes, yeah, the book trailer.
It's available on YouTube, mm-hmm. as Cicada Book Trailer.
Now, obviously, Cicada left the reader hanging, at least me personally, really eager to know what's going to happen next for Blair and Everett. So I was wondering, what can readers hope to expect from the sequels?
Oh, don't you love cliffhangers?
Oh, yes. Love and hate simultaneously.
What to expect from Blair and Everett? Well, Firefly is the second in the trilogy. I haven't named a third one yet, although I am writing both of them at the same time. But Firefly plunges deeper into Blair's metamorphosis, and it really starts turning dark. The third book gets really dark before it gets light again.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of changes. I don't want to give away spoilers.
Oh, no spoilers.
But they're good changes, and I will say this. You readers will meet a new character named Ash.
Okay.
In Firefly. And he mixes things up.
Ooh, okay. Something to look forward to, definitely. Now, I understand that you're going to be participating in the Montgomery County Teen Book Festival. Tell us a little bit about that event and how it feels to be a part of it.
It feels really awesome to be a part of it. I was really honored and that they invited me to participate as one of the authors. This year it's the 8th annual one, so they're having 8 authors.
Mm-hmm.
The keynote speaker is Kristen Cast. Mm-hmm. She's one of the authors of the House of Night series.
Oh, okay.
So I'm really excited to meet her.
Yeah.
There are a couple of best-selling authors that are going to be there, and all the list of names is on the website for the festival. But admission is free,
mm-hmm.
and Barnes & Nobles is producing the books for people to buy, and they could get them signed there.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So all the authors will have their books there. There'll be breakout sessions so that people can choose 2 authors. Each author will be doing 2 breakout sessions,
mm-hmm.
2 45-minute sessions, and you'll be able to choose 2 authors to kind of interact with that. And so I think it sounds a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does, and it should be a neat networking opportunity for you to get to kind of meet other YA writers and compare notes.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I really am.
Okay, well, anyone who's interested in attending or learning more about the Montgomery County Teen Book Festival, you can go to www.MontgomeryCountyTeenBookFestival.com. We've been speaking to Belle Whittington, SHSU employee and young adult novelist. The book is Cicada. You can purchase it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble either as a print book or an electronic book. And the electronic editions for Kindle and Nook are just $2.99, which really is a steal of a deal. It's a very engaging story. I recommend it. Thanks so much for being here and speaking to us, Belle.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really a lot of fun.